In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, there is a character called Polonius, an old doddering father of two grown children, the oldest of whom is hot-headed Laertes, who is on his way to Paris. As Laertes is trying to leave, Polonius trots out after his son, giving last-minute advice by quoting proverbs, one after the other, such as, "Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar, neither a borrower nor a lender be," or, "This above all, to thine own self be true." I guess the impulse to give advice is universal. Jesus gives us advice today. But unlike the comic Polonius trotting after his son, Jesus sits on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee and delivers the Sermon on the Mount, some of which is our gospel for today. The advice Jesus gives us today seems particularly appropriate on this Labor Day weekend, this time of new beginnings, new openings, and new challenges ahead for all of us, not just people we care about going off somewhere, but for all of us as we step into more of this new and uncertain time. Jesus, our teacher, our guide, our Lord, advises us. Be careful where you give your heart, where you put your energy, what you do, and how you do it. Remember who you are, and that what you do with love is a prayer to me. Choose wisely, with love, that which is good. Do not store up for yourselves what your ego and society treasure: power, prestige, possessions, fame, victory. For they are fleeting and can be lost in an instant, in a fire, or flood, or failure. Do not let the harshness of the world, the fear, the anger, the danger, and the cruelty turn you away from the goodness in you, or lace your speech with bitterness or hatred. Do not cling to or make idols of that which the world treasures, admires, and celebrates, but store up for yourself instead the treasures of heaven, of love, kindness, and forgiveness. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Such good advice, Jesus, such good advice. But how, O Lord, how do we do that? Then Jesus says, "Let your light shine, the beautiful, unique light of your soul. Let your light shine from within you and out your eyes, and others will be drawn to that light. Your eyes are the windows to your soul. Do not let yourself be overcome with meanness, or let your eyes grow dull, hiding the painful darkness within. Remember who you are. You are a child of light. Falling into the world's darkness will turn you away from the light of Christ, and you will shrink. Yes, Jesus, help us. Teach us how." And finally, Jesus says, "This will not be easy. It is never easy. You will be tempted, discouraged, pulled into conflicts, saying and doing things you wish you hadn't. Remember who you are. Remember that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both the dark and the light. Let love lead you. Offer all you do in prayer and as prayer." Of course, how easily we forget about prayer. I think our first reading from Ecclesiasticus teaches us something about prayer, something that our patron, St. Francis, also teaches us, that prayer does not have to have words. Doing what we love, with love, for love, is also a prayer of gratitude. On this Labor Day, Ecclesiasticus celebrates the artist, the craftsman, whose love of what they did, their attention to detail, their endless hours of passionate determination, gave of their lives in labors of love, the prayers of their souls. What do you love to do? Seriously, what engages you so much that you lose track of time, totally absorbed, that fills you completely without anything else on your mind? Doing what we love is using what God gives us. Using what God gives us is a joy. And using what God gives us is a prayer. It is a prayer that keeps our small self, our ego, at bay. Recently, I was at home, and I heard someone skateboarding in the alley, and I was instantly annoyed by the interruption and angry suddenly at all skateboarders who interrupt the rest of us with all their noise. As I listened to see if he would move on, I began to notice the rhythm. A long run, a moment of silence, and then a landing sound with turns and scrapes. Then a longer moment of silence, and the rhythm began again, and repeated again and again and again. I got up to watch. He came down the alley fast, attempted a maneuver I couldn't see, and then he would walk his skateboard back up the alley and do it again, over and over, for at least an hour. I suddenly saw this boy doing what he loved, determined to learn that jump, fully engaged, using all his strength, concentration, and heart. And suddenly, I felt what this meant to him. The sheer love of it, the determination, the joy. And he had no idea what gift this was to me. His doing what he loved touched me. It changed me. And that's how love works. That's how prayer works. Esther de Waal, in her book, The Celtic Way of Prayer, writes that the heart of Celtic Christianity is a deep, deep sense of the presence of God right here and now, close at hand, in life and in work, each day, all day, from the minute one's feet hit the floor in the morning. And she describes this constant sense of the presence of God as a way of keeping temptation and darkness at bay. And that they do this through prayers for everything, for waking, washing, eating, dressing, harnessing the horse, tending the fire. My very favorite, which I invite you to add to your morning routine, is this. I make this bed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the night we were conceived, in the name of the night we were born, in the name of the day we were baptized, in the name of each night, each day, each angel that is in heaven. Amen. Jesus says that what we give our time and attention to is where we will find our heart. Where is your heart? Is it where you want it to be? Is it with God? Being with God doesn't have to be a Herculean task. Letting Jesus into our consciousness with little prayers throughout the day moves our time and attention into the realms of heaven. The story of Priscilla shows us how simple those prayers can be. Priscilla was an elderly parishioner at my home parish. She always sat in the front pew, impeccably dressed. She had wonderful wit, a dry sense of humor, and a joyous smile. Each week, those of us who agreed to be part of a prayer team received in the mail a hard copy of the intercessory prayer list, the list of prayers written in the book by the chapel. When Priscilla could no longer come to church and was pretty much confined to her bed, the story has it that each week she took out that intercessory prayer list and she said out loud, "Lord, this is the best I can do." And then she lay that paper face down on her chest. That was her prayer. That was how she gave her time and attention. That was how she stayed in the light. That was how she loved. Thank you, Jesus, for your advice. Help us to enter into this time of new beginnings with a rededication to prayer, lots of it. Help us to do what we love, with love, for love, because that love spreads and shines its light and stores up treasures in heaven. Thank you for the advice to hold the things of this world lightly, for the understanding that we cannot serve two masters. And therefore, help us to give our time and attention each day to you. Amen.